we on? Let's start. Okay, so today we're going to learn about the outer courtyard, and specifically, we're going to focus on the Ezra's Noshim, the woman's section, the woman's balcony. Now, I'm going to do something a little bit unusual. I've traditionally, in the last couple of weeks, as we're learning, followed Hilchos Beis Avchila, the Rambam's system, the Rambam's order. I'm going to deviate just a little bit now, because the Rambam first describes Har HaBayis, and we've done that to some degree already. I want to quickly talk about the broader wall, the retaining wall, which you know of, a portion of you know of today as the Kotel HaMaravi, the Western Wall. And then I want to move into the Ezra's Noshim, rather than describing the actual courtyard, the Azara, of the Beis HaMikdash. And the reason I want to do that is because I wanted to take you on a virtual tour, as if, okay, so if we were entering the Beis HaMikdash, where would we enter from, and what's the first thing that we would enter into? So just to very briefly remind everybody that the Har HaBayit itself, which means the actual sacred area of scrimmage, is 500 amot by 500 amot. As we've mentioned numerous times, an amma is a cubit, 18 inches. Figure it out how big that is. It's not enormous. It's not tiny either. It's a pretty big space. This Har HaBayit was built up numerous times. And in today's iteration, it is many, many times larger than 500 amot by 500 amot. Of course, we don't know which are the 500 amot by 500 amot. We're absolutely not sure about that. And there are various suggestions. Some people would like to think with certainty that the mosque that was built many centuries after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash must be exactly where the Beis HaMikdash was. There is no compelling proof of that whatsoever. The only reason there's any reason to consider it is because Radvaz maintained that it was in fact the case. Otherwise, it doesn't seem to fit much of what we know, much of what we think. At any rate, this had an enormous retaining wall because you had landfill. And you had to keep kind of box it all in. We have a portion, just a portion of that retaining wall, which is very much focused on, and that's called the Kotel, although the truth is the entire retaining wall is intact on all sides. What's not intact is the gates that are going in. We have remnants of it. Much of it has been destroyed. The whole upper part of the wall is destroyed. Much of it is buried beneath the ground. But if you take a walk around the Har HaBayit, you have some difficult time on the north side. You might come out a little bit bludgeoned if you look visibly Jewish. But if you go for sure, you walk along the eastern side, I think you can walk there. You can drive there. You can actually see the Kotel. And you asked me yesterday, Michael, about the gate. So I promised you I would address it today. On the north side, there was a gate that was called Shar Kiponos. And the Shar Kiponos, I don't believe we know what it is today. I don't believe we have any kind of clear, compelling evidence. On the eastern side, I'm sorry, the western side was Shar Kiponos. On the eastern side, which would be a kind of between the Temple Mount and Har HaZeitim, Mount Scopus or Mount of Olives, there was a Shar called Shar Shushan, and this is also called Shar HaZav.
That's the southern wall.
That's the eastern wall. And there is a gate, and the gate has been stuffed by the Arabs, who believe in Mashiach more than most Jews, unfortunately. And they are so convinced that Mashiach might come, and they have to stop Mashiach from coming. So foolishly, they think Eliyahu HaNavi is a Kohen. There is such an opinion. So if they figured if they made an Arab cemetery right there, and they blocked the gates, how would Eliyahu HaNavi come and bring us the news that Mashiach will come? And therefore, they feel they have sealed off the entrance to Mashiach. Mashiach will never come now. That's kind of ridiculous. If God wants to send us Mashiach, a sealed gate is not going to make a difference. What I could tell you is that sealed gate on top is most certainly and definitely not the gate of the Beis HaMikdash. That's not Shar Shushan. And the reason is the Rambam gives the dimensions of these gates. These gates were 20 amot high and 10 amot wide. That's an enormous doorway. That's a small little doorway. There is a cave beneath. Today you can't get there anymore. Once upon a time you could get there. There was always an Arab guarding it, usually holding a machete. There's a story of a guy who ran down there when he noticed the Arab wasn't there and took a few pictures very quickly. Today it's nothing on an iPhone, but those days it was a regular camera. And then he was chased with a machete. He ended up saying, thank God, surviving. He developed a film, and guess what he found? All the way in the bottom of this cave, he found the top of a doorway, which means that the Shar Shushan has got to be right beneath over there. Now, on the western side, we have what's known as Shar Kiponos is on the western side. On the northern side, there's Shar Tuda or Shar Teda. And the Shar Shushan is on the eastern side. And on the southern excavation, there were two Shearim, and that's known as Chulda's Gates. That's where Chulda Hanavia taught Torah. According to another opinion, those gates actually went subterraneanly through the mountain landfill, and they're like a Chulda's, which is a weasel's tunnel, and therefore they were called the gates of Chulda. Those gates, we believe, are actually still extant today. They call them Solomon Stables, which is just a name that's pulled out of nowhere. And they call them crusader things, but they're really not. And it's quite possible when you walk there, you could see the frescoes and the actual decorations from the time of the Beis HaMikdash. And there are pillars there, which we have to assume were there in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. But this is all this is subterraneally. That's the only gate which is kind of still even functional.
So how does that, you know, my understanding is that the big gold pimple is on like the rocks.
It's in a rock that protrudes from the...
If it's all underground now, how come that is above ground?
It's obviously a tall mountain outcrop. The question is, was that the mountain outcrop? There could have been a numerous mountain outcrops like that. And there's no compelling absolute proof. There's much to be said about that. That's what I don't want to get into that. So this was the big wall. This is called the outer retaining wall. Inside that wall, there was a latticework fence. That latticework fence had signs, and the signs said many things, including, if you're not Jewish, you're not allowed to go past this point. Guess what? They actually found the sign. It's unbelievable. In Greek and in Hebrew. They found it, the actual sign. Inside, there was another wall, a stone wall. This stone wall was called a chel. That was 10 amot high. So the Temple Mount actually had three walls before you got to the Beis HaMikdash, before you got to the outer courtyard. Three walls. The massive outer wall, which you call Kotel. We have the idea of the lattice work, which was called the Soreg. Inside the Soreg is the Chel, another stone wall. And inside that stone wall, then we get to the actual area of the Beis HaMikdash. Most of the people would probably enter Tahara Bayit from the southern gates, because that's where the city was. Most of the residences, until the time of the later Second Temple, where the old city was built up, which is really the new city, that was Thornhill in those days of Yerushalayim. And that's when they did landfill in the big Tyropian Valley, and that's when Tyropian Valley or the Kotel Plaza kind of became what it is today. It's still a ways down, but not nearly as deep an incline as it was. Most of the people would be living down in the south, what they call Silwan. That's Ir David. That's the city of David HaMelech. They would come in the Har HaBayit from the south, southern gates, but they would enter into the Beis HaMikdash on the eastern gate, as a rule. And when they would enter into the eastern gate, they would come into an additional appendage to the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash, as we learned, had a Heichal. This is a large building. The building had a courtyard around it. We said that Mishkan had a courtyard around it. It was a little bit of a building and a courtyard. In the second Beis HaMikdash, they added in a whole additional courtyard, a huge courtyard, which is 135 amot by 135 amot. Again, do the math. It's very big. It's a very big area. I was told it's approximately the size of a football field. And there was this was called Ezrat Nashim. And the Ezrat Nashim had four corners were sectioned off. And the four corners that were sectioned off, when you would come into the Ezras Nashim, so you would be able to see they were surrounded by porticos and pillars, and then there was an actual wall, and there was a doorway, and you can go into, or possibly more than one doorway, you could go into these sectioned off areas, and the sectioned off areas, they had specific purposes. This was temple purposes. So what was the kind of things they needed to have in those days? So if you walked in, immediately to your left, which would be Dromit Mizrach, immediately to your right, pardon me, this was called Lishkas HaNazirim. The Nazirites, the Nazir, the long hair, had to shave the hair, so on and so forth, get rehabilitated. That everything the Nazir would need was on your immediate right. On the left, you would have what was called in Mizrachit Sefonit, you would have the Lishkat Beit Dir Eitzim. And the Lishkat Dir Eitzim was the, so now we're on still on the north side. So area number one was Nazirim. Area number two, on the eastern side of this large courtyard, was a place where the Kohanim, who were not able to serve in the Beis HaMikdash due to various blemishes, would be preparing the wood for the Beis HaMikdash. And the wood had to be clean, and the wood had to have no worms in it, and the various other halachas about the wood, and that's what we kept all the wood over there. And then, going on to the left side, which was the southern side, so Tzvaynis Ma'aravis, on the west, on the northwestern side, there was an area of the Mitzorah, the people who had Tzorah, so the leprosy. And then Ma'aravis Dreimis, on the southwestern corner, that's where there was wine and oil, and this was called Lishkas Beis Shamnia. And here it gets very interesting. In that courtyard, the Jewish people would come to celebrate during Simchat Beit HaShoeva, because that's not actually a temple compound. I mean, there's a lot of halachas, you can't just go in there. But any Jew who's ritually pure can be there, And that's where people would come not only to worship before Hashem, but also to participate in festivities. Whenever there would be an enormous crowd or crush of Jewish people coming, like for the high holidays or for the festivals, the women and men would worship separately. Where would the woman be? The woman would be in a balcony. So these walls, which sectioned off four corners, had a large porch or portico that extended. And in that large porch or portico that extended, there was a very broad walkway. We don't know exactly how wide it was. Maybe it was 10 amot, maybe 20. We don't know how wide. We don't have details of that. A very large platform. And that large platform, which presumably had some kind of wall so nobody would fall off, that was the women's section. So those who tell you a story that business of the women's section, the men's section, was invented by rabbis in Europe, or some other stupidity like that, it goes back literally to the base HaMikdash itself. And the idea of a woman's balcony is, yes, as old as our holy temple in the base HaMikdash. So now we have an idea, some idea of the outer courtyard. Tomorrow we'll enter into the inner courtyard, and we're also going to take a look at one of the very large and interesting buildings that was built on the, that stood on the north, in the north of the actual Heichal. The most interesting of buildings that stood in the north called the Beis HaMikdash. That'll be Bezrat Hashem tomorrow's class.